I'm Sherry Preston. It's a deal worth $35 billion. One credit card company wants to buy another one. Here's Bankrate's Greg McBride.
Capital One is acquiring Discover, which is more than just a credit card issuer. They also have a card network over which the transactions are run. And they also have accumulated a pretty significant deposit base, bringing in deposits from consumers and making loans other than just credit cards.
In the Middle East, Israel has ordered new evacuations from parts of Gaza City as a UNICEF study finds 1 in 6 Palestinian children are acutely malnourished in the northern part of the territory where Gaza City is. Arab nations putting to a vote a UN resolution demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, knowing it will be vetoed by the United States. President Biden heads to California today, hoping to raise more money for his reelection campaign. The state still inundated with rain and wind and snow and higher elevations, thanks to another atmospheric river. This is ABC News. Now to a story about how a personal finance columnist who suddenly knows how crafty scammers can be is speaking out.
Charlotte Coles, a personal finance columnist in New York, says she got a call she thought was from Amazon, telling her she'd been the victim of identity fraud. She says she spoke with several people, even someone claiming to be from the CIA. Coles says the person she thought was an investigator told her there was a warrant out for her arrest for cyber crimes, money laundering, and drug trafficking.
He told me that in order to avoid arrest, I would need to cooperate with their investigation.
Coles followed the scammer's directions, rushing to the bank to withdraw $50,000 cash and putting the cash in an SUV that was sent to her house. But as soon as the driver drove away, Coles says she realized she'd been scammed.
That's ABC's Andrew Dimbert, the advice from experts. If you think something sounds strange in a call like that, just hang up. Astronomers think they found the biggest thing in the sky, a quasar 12 billion light years away, 500 trillion times brighter than our sun. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
There's a small Wisconsin town where the population grows to 10 times its size every February.
Normally, we're about 2,600 people during Berkey Week. That gets up to 20, 30,000.
That's Blair Flickinger with the Foundation for the American Berkebiner. The skiing marathon started with a couple of people carving a trail between Hayward and Cable 50 years ago. It's also a tribute to the ski culture of another country already hosting its own Berkebiner. Is it Turkey, Norway, or Germany? The answer coming up.
There's a camaraderie that comes along with this event that is unparalleled.
A camaraderie between people who come to Hayward from around the world.
Make everyone feel like Hayward is their spot for the week.
So did you guess the Berkey was created as a tribute to Norway's 100-year-old race? And while our Berkey is a well-known winter event, it's still growing by adding other races all throughout the year. There's a slice of Wisconsin. Jerry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wagihau. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has new legislative district maps that undo Republican gerrymanders going back more than a decade. Governor Evers signed the new boundaries into law on Monday. He says the results will be a legislature that reflects the will of the voters.
Wisconsin is not a red state. It is not a blue state. Wisconsin is a purple state, and I believe our map should reflect that basic fact.
Evers plans to ask the state Supreme Court to make the maps effective right away instead of waiting until the fall campaigns. Owners of electric and hybrid cars in Wisconsin are getting new license plate stickers. The stickers are required by law to help first responders know what to expect in emergency situations. The stickers should arrive in the mail by June. I'm Nate Wagihau, Civic Media News.
The Bucks are back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks headed back from their All-Star break and getting ready for their road trip to Minnesota this Friday night. They need to turn things around from that 3-7 record so far under head coach Doc Rivers. The Brooklyn Nets fired their head coach Jacques Vaughn in just the second year of a 4-year contract worth nearly $20 million. Baseball Brewers manager Pat Murphy says Sal Frelich will get a look at playing second and maybe some third base during spring training. In an interview, Pat Murphy was asked, with Craig Counsell, now the manager of the Chicago Cubs, how much bigger will the rivalry be with the Brewers?
Yeah, I think it's good for baseball. I think what Counts did can be viewed in many different ways. I've been close with this guy since he was 17 years old. So, you know, we'll always be close. It doesn't matter what happens. We could fight. Counts could jump on my back during a brawl. That would be his best strategy.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today, almost exactly like yesterday. We'll get to about 42 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 24 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine 46. On Thursday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And good morning. Time is 7:06 here on this Tuesday, Up North News Radio. Pat Holmes in for Pat Breitlow and Greg Bach with me as well. Real fast, Greg, before we get to the weather. I love the fact that I wish I could have a cool title like founding editor like Pat does. And the thing is, there can only be one founding editor, and Pat Creightlow is the founding editor of Up North News, both as the news source and of course as the show as well. But that is a cool title, I got to tell you,
Chad. By the powers vested by me by UniversalLifeChurch.org, you are hereby known as Chad Holmes, founding editor of Bull Falls News Radio newsletter. So just
no. And that's the thing.
And
real fast, because we actually have a person that does so much more with the Bull Falls Radio newsletter than I can or even dream of doing, and that is Brittany Merlot. In addition to her work,
that's right. I got a newsletter for Brittany.
Yeah, she is. She is the voice that you hear covering the news as well. She wears multiple hats. So
I sure do. And
the timing of you telling me that, I get that. I mean, I could almost see the lasers coming out of Brittany's eyes because she's saying, that is my title, not that interloper across the way in that studio.
Yes, because when you think Brittany Merlot, you think petty.
It's not petty because she actually earns that title. But Brittany Merlot with us here as she does to start off the second hour on Up North News Radio every weekday. But no, Brittany, you do. I mean, this newsletter, I know you're very excited about.
Yeah, the newsletter is awesome. So, you know, I just cover a lot of the local news in Tuwasa, Stevens Point. We even touch into Rhinelander as well and up north. But the newsletter will go out every week on Thursdays. Just some things you need to know around the area. It's super local, really relevant to who lives here. Just something really cool. And of course, I have my weather touch in there. Always getting the weekend forecast. I have to.
Featuring DJ Flip Switch Mix.
Exactly. But Chad, you do a lot too. I mean, you call play-by-play, sports. We're just doing a lot of stuff out of Wausau, aren't we? We've got it all covered.
Well, it's easy when you enjoy what you do, right?
That's
the bottom line. And anybody that has a job where they don't have to look at the clock is a very lucky person.
Very true.
And I think that all of us here at the Civic Media are very, very fortunate to be that way. Before we finish up the newsletter, can people subscribe to the newsletter? Is that the way that they can get it? Or what's the best way for folks to get it?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can subscribe to this newsletter. You can also go onto our website and download our app as well. So there's different ways to get that. But you can also just shoot me an email if you get confused. It's brittany.merlot@civicmedia.us. Just let me know, and I'll add you to that list.
Watch the emails just
boom.
Well, then I'm going to spam you too. No, it's okay. Seriously, if you guys have any weather questions or anything, just reach out to me. I'm a very friendly person and I'll respond, I promise.
And the thing is, you light up when you get asked about the weather. You love talking about the weather. You love giving that information about the weather. So you say, yeah, you can ask me about anything. Please ask me about it. Please.
please, come on.
Well, let's talk about the weather because, number one, it's another beautiful morning as I look out the window here. Again, our studios can look right out onto Washington Street in downtown Wausau, like 26 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies out there. I was looking at information last night, and we're like a couple of feet. I mean, not a few inches. We're a couple of feet short of our normal snowfall this winter. It's been pretty amazing, hasn't it?
I know, it's kind of sad. I'm a winter weather enthusiast, and I know a lot of people in the state are, but a lot of us aren't. So they're enjoying the warmth, and we've got more of that headed our way this week. So today, high temperatures, I mean, we are going to soar to the low 50s for a good chunk of the state. The further north you live, some upper 40s for you, but it's a wild, wild weather week. We're going to tap into the mid 50s by tomorrow for portions into the southern half of the state, and 50s spread all the way up towards Eau Claire as well tomorrow. A ton of sunshine, calm weather. The only thing is it's going to be a bit breezy here today, which is actually good because there's actually some really dense fog right now into Sheboygan. Visibility is near zero right now, and that's kind of moving north into Shawano and Clintonville and up towards Marinette and into the Northwoods. But when those winds kick in to about 20 miles per hour around 9 o'clock this morning, that fog is going to clear. It's going to be gone. So if you're dealing with that this morning, don't worry. It's not going to be a dreary, foggy day. It's going to get bright and beautiful and warm.
In fact, it's going to be pretty bright the rest of the week. And that's one of the nice things. I mean, it just makes you feel better when you get the sunshine. And it looks like at least for a big part of the state, there's going to be a lot of sunshine this week, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Basically, sunshine all week long besides Wednesday evening. We'll start to get a little bit cloudy, and maybe by Thursday morning, some clouds still hanging on. And that's only because we have a little system pushing through that could bring some sprinkles and maybe a few flurries. But that's it. Nothing accumulating, nothing major that kicks on out of here. And we actually stay sunny for the weekend, too. But the difference is the cooler air starts to spill in for the weekend. Nothing drastic. We're not going below zero, but cooler temperatures.
It'll start feeling more like a February winter.
Not so close.
Even when it cools off, we're still going to be above normal, yeah. Probably, right? That's the way it goes.
Basically. I mean, our highs should be in the upper 20s to low 30s.
No, closer to normal.
Yeah.
We got a live stream comment, of course, from Rob Lehman saying, good morning from Tigerton. Rawr. It is foggy and 25 degrees. Watch out for slippery spots, especially bridges and overpasses. Did you see the beautiful and colorful sunset last night? I did. I looked out my kitchen window. I was doing some dishes, and I stopped. I was staring. I was like, this is gorgeous.
And you didn't send me a picture of this?
Oh, we're looking at the same bright sky, Brittany. I mean,
I don't know what I was doing. I missed it. I must have been working or something.
Driving to Rapids last night around the time where the sun was going down, and it darn near blinded me. I mean, it was such a bright sun. It was really, I'm not kidding you. It was in the worst possible spot. I'm driving towards Rapids, and it, when you flip down your little thingamajob, it's too early here to try
thingamajob.
Trying to get the sun out of your eyes. The sun was too low. And I'm thinking, this ain't good.
No. God, Grandpa, just knock it off. Enjoy the sunlight. No.
Hey, I am truly sitting in for Pat Kreitlow. I got to be the grandpa.
Pat enjoys things.
I enjoy things.
Yeah, I was driving and the sun was too bright.
Oh, man. Where's the rock here? I got to find a rock to crawl under right now.
Oh, I thought you were going to throw it at him.
I was just saying, That's going to be a toss.
Don't throw it through the window, though. That's always my big worry here. Got the big window here. No rock here.
Also, Rob also said he'd be interested in the newsletter. Rob, go ahead and repeat. Can you repeat for us, Brittany, how you can sign up for that newsletter?
Yeah, definitely. So you can download the app. You can find it at bowfallsradio.com, or you can send me an email, brittany.merlot@civicmedia.us.
Excellent. And then finally, Rob says, I was walking on my family's property, walking in places that would normally be buried in snow this time of year. That just sounds like the saddest country song.
Carrying my bottle.
And the sun is too bright when I'm driving home.
Well, I've got some good news.
You're not going to let me live this down for the rest of this hour, are you,
Mr.
Bach?
Nope.
Oh, geez.
What was that now, Brittany?
Oh, I was going to say up north, we're going to see some lake effect snow start to turn on off of Lake Superior for the weekend. So if people are excited for some snow, maybe a couple of inches, we'll go up there.
Very good. Well, Brittany, again, thank you for the sunshine, even if it blinds me from time to time.
Good luck.
I will talk to you in the next hour, because doggone it, you're the hardest working person around. And we'll talk to you on my program coming up in the next hour. But thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the next hour, and we'll talk to you a little bit.
Sounds good. Good luck with Greg. We'll talk later.
And I'm going to need it. Brittany Merlot joining us. And again, she joins Pat at the top of the second hour each and every week. And real fast, Greg, of course, speaking of weather affecting big events, of course, the American Birkebeiner 50th anniversary of the event. It's going to feature a course that is reduced to a 10-kilometer loop, but the race itself will remain the same distance, with skiers making 5 trips around the loop if they are in the American Birkebeiner Skate Super Tour of Elite Wave. It's sad that they have to go through all this, but again, it shows ingenuity. I have to say, I'm very impressed that with the weather that we've had, that they're still able to have an American Birkebeiner.
I agree. And, you know, honestly, we had Sean, who's the marketing director on Matt and Air on Air a couple weeks ago, and he said flat out, like, if we have to, we're going to have to cancel it because we're not going to have the snow, but they are making it work. They're going to have it. Do you know anybody who does it?
I don't. And Todd going to be going up?
Todd will be up there broadcasting from the Birkebeiner and talking to all the people involved, talking to people who are going to be taking part in it. And it should be a great time. It should be fun. I mean, it's the things that, and the other thing too is, that the company, the Berkey.com, it's not just the Birkebeiner. They do things all year round. They're doing events. They're doing fundraisers. They're family get-togethers. It's really, really cool. Like, if I lived closer, I'd be taking part in it more. I don't think I'd do the Birkebeiner, but I would love to be involved in that group.
Yeah, and absolutely. And make sure folks out there tune into Todd, because I think you're going to hear a lot of interesting stories. And again, it is the power of ingenuity and the power of positive thinking, that there are ways to make things happen, even when it looks like there may not be. And that's very interesting that you say that you had somebody on from the Berkey just a few weeks ago, where you're thinking, well, it's not going to happen. But yet, when you get a group together and you decide, hey, we're going to make this happen, I think that is just fantastic.
Absolutely.
Hey, don't forget, coming up a little bit later on in the hour, at the bottom of the hour, after our information update, we'll be talking to Kyle Kilborn. Again, he is a Democratic candidate for the 7th Congressional District, hoping to unseat Representative Tom Tiffany. We're going to come back in just a moment. Spring training! And I know this guy loves the crew, so we're going to talk some good news with the crew coming up as we continue here on Civic Media.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
Did you know there was a time when African Americans couldn't buy their own homes? In 1948, the Supreme Court ruled the ban on selling property to black buyers was unconstitutional. Yet black people still couldn't purchase homes in white neighborhoods. The Fair Housing Act in 1968 ended this type of discrimination. But there's still work to do. Today, only 40% of black populations own their own homes. Listen for another Black History story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work, oh yeah. I don't want to do your dirty work no more.
I'm for the more feeling game, dirty work, celebrating the anniversary of the birth of Walter Becker, one of the founding members of Steely Dan. Chad Holmes, Up North News Radio, Civic Media Radio Network, in for Pat Kreitlow yesterday and today, and hand the baton off to Todd Allbaugh for the rest of the week.
But always in our heart.
Exactly right. Joined again by Greg Bach in our Waukesha studios. And I know down in Southeast Wisconsin, I've been listening to you on a Mapton Air on air for months and months and months.
Oh boy. Because,
you know, I get done with my show. I get back to my office and I'm doing, you know, work. At least that's what I tell myself.
Yeah.
Doing work while I have the radio on, because you guys come on right after I do. And I've heard your love of being at American Family Field and being able to see the Brewers during the course of the season.
Absolutely, man. Chad, I'll be honest with you, and I've talked about this in the past. Baseball is therapy for me. Not like, you know, I'm not saying I eschew traditional therapies, but going to a baseball game for me is like necessary. I need to go to baseball games. I need to sit in the seats and just try to put my phone down. That's tough to do, especially when the ballpark has Wi-Fi, but you know, just put the phone away, focus on the game, enjoy being around other people, cheering for, like, having this one common goal, not knowing who anyone votes for, not knowing what car they drive, what tax bracket they're in, nothing other than, you know, what I can see in front of me. But we all, you know, love the Brewers. And if you like the Cardinals, we just say, get out. your team is trash. But yeah, I love baseball, and I'm really looking for, I'm looking forward to this season, though. Chad, I will say I am very nervous.
I think there's reasons to be. The Brewers have their first spring training game on Saturday, but I was very happy to see this story yesterday about the Brewers re-signing Brandon Woodruff to a 2-year deal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because I have always loved sports. I've loved the Brewers and the Bucks and the Packers, but I don't just root for the laundry. And I think a lot of people, and when I say root for the laundry, is whoever's wearing the uniform, you just root for it. And I think there's a certain level of that because, again, it's our home state team. But when there's guys that you really enjoy watching, and you know that are guys that care, those are guys that commit themselves to their teammates, to the cause, to the city, to the state, it makes you want them to stay around.
Oh,
and
yes.
In the case of Brandon Woodruff, who has been such a solid citizen and performer. And I mean, you look at last year, the guy was battling a bad arm.
Yep.
And yet when he did pitch, and he only had 11 starts last year, but when he pitched, he was stellar. He was 5-1, 2.28 ERA, one shutout, which occurred in one of his last starts before he was shut down in September. But then, of course, the Brewers were put into a position where, you know, you don't want to pay multi-millions of dollars for somebody who's not going to be available after he had his shoulder surgery. And he's likely out for this year, but they've signed him to a 2-year deal. So now he's going to be able to rehab with the team and hopefully be able to be a factor again next year. But also, I just like the idea that I know it's not a charity. I know that. But man, I think sometimes you go a little bit further for somebody that is, I think, the kind of guy you want around. And that it does, it makes my heart feel good seeing that story yesterday as we have spring training underway.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't start really watching baseball until about 2017. And that when I came into the Brewers, man, holy cow. You know, that was the 2018 Brewers. That was Moustakas, Lokane, Christian Yelich, Braun was still on the team. Yeah. Like, it was just this all-star lineup in my heart of just wonderful people. And then, you know, losing the NLCS in game 7, that was heartbreaking. And then the team just sort of fracturing and going their separate ways. And, you know, now I have an appreciation for what you're talking about, Chad, as far as like, oh, he's like having Woodruff on the team is really great. And, you know, hoping that there'll be a couple other players that will make their way through that will really connect and love Milwaukee. Someone like Christian Yelich loves Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. Someone like Giannis Antetokounmpo loves Milwaukee. It's great to see. And it's not because we're Los Angeles or New York or Chicago. It's, you know, it's Milwaukee. It's Wisconsin. You know, there's a lovability to us. And the fact that they've hooked onto it means a lot. And I'm hoping with this new, you know, all these new signings, we get that again, because I feel like we're very lucky to have real teams, not just a number one celebrity athlete and then his supporting players.
Right. But you're right. I think there's so many questions going into this year, but there's still, I think, reason for optimism, big picture wise. I was looking at one of the articles, again, feeding right for baseball season. The Brewers do have a good farm system. They do have a lot of great, good young players, yeah, coming through.
Yeah.
So there's reason, I think, to be optimistic. But boy, when you look at what the Brewers were pitching wise when we went into last season compared to where they are this year, it's a lot different.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we talked to J.R. Radcliffe and Paul Noonan every other week. And I think it was Paul who said of the two sports casting companies, the Brewers are projected to do poorly this season. But one, that's just a projection. That's a forecast. Things can change. But also, A lot of young people on this team. I don't want to say rebuild. I don't think the Brewers are in a rebuild. I just think they've got a good foundation and they're just putting some new players in on the board and see where they're gonna work out.
It's one of those teams in the middle. They have spent a little bit. They brought in a couple of new players as well.
Yeah.
But it's hard to kind of get a real feel, because it does feel like, hey, they could be better than we expect, but they also could be a team that does struggle really badly. I mean, it really could go any way. I mean, if you want a mystery, if you want to say, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, I think the 2024 Milwaukee Brewers would fit, because I think that this could be anywhere from they could be battling for a wild card.
Yeah.
I think that would be fantastic if they're still fighting for that as we get into August and September. And they also could be a team that, you know, coming June 1st could be 12 games under 500 too. I mean, it's really, I think, a wide range of what this team could be.
I think one of the biggest factors is going to be how the new guys connect with Pat Murphy. You know, Craig Counsell leaving I get it. I'm not mad at him, and I'm mad at the organization for not meeting his needs, because I think he's a great coach. Mm-hmm. But he had to do what he had to do. So we have to see how these young guys, if they can hook their wagons onto Pat Murphy and see where he can take them.
It is going to be interesting. It's also going to be interesting to see if they do have some struggles, to make sure that the organization does support their manager, because sometimes, you know, the guy after the guy is sort of, it's, yeah, a very difficult position. He's following a guy that was, you know, obviously a pretty big legend for Milwaukee.
Yeah.
It's not an easy task, to say the least.
And a lot of people have projected that it's just Pat Murphy until Ricky Weeks is capable. And
that is true.
Murphy's got a 3-year contract. He'll do his thing, and he's a professional, you know.
Right. And I think they're going to allow him, I think, to get through this process. So agreed. Obviously, okay. I think it's going to be very interesting. It'll be very interesting Saturday, that first spring training game as well. So yep. Have you got opening day tickets real quick?
Not yet.
Greg Bach, I'm Chad Holmes. Coming up, we're going to talk to Kyle Kilborn. He is a candidate for the 7th Congressional District. That's coming up.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the last of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
So you'd like to find that little slice of paradise out in the country. Well, do your homework. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. That's the advice of Steve LeFue. He is a loan officer with Compure Financial, and he says what many people looking to buy out in the country don't realize are a lot of lenders don't want to deal with things like raw land or aged rural properties. He said, especially if you're a first-time home buyer, do your homework and get your paperwork ready.
I think that there's more demand than there is supply. So if you're wanting to buy that little slice of heaven in the country, you may need to be prepared well in advance and ready to strike when that property hits the market, because you may not have very much time from when it hits the market to when it's already under contract. So whether you are a few months away from thinking that you're going to be a first-time home buyer or a few years, it's good to get these things, this information under your belt.
Steve LeFue, he is a loan officer with Compure Financial. He said the other thing you have to realize when you're purchasing properties in rural areas, they come with some additional baggage, like maintaining your own well as your own septic. He said those are extra inspections that you're going to have to go through before that property can be purchased. They're going to be having a first-time homeowner seminar online tomorrow at 1 p.m. You can find details and get registered at compure.com.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau's grassroots policy really truly is a bottom-up process. This is truly started at the bottom by the members, for the members. It really does work its way up the chain, because this is the core foundation of Farm Bureau. We truly are all-encompassing, and that's why I really believe in the Farm Bureau mission.
WFBF.com.
We are the voice of agriculture.
A voice for farmers. A vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
And some congratulations are in order for the 2024 Organic Farmers of the Year, the award going to Full Circle Community Farm just outside of Seymour. The owner-operators include Rick Adamski, Valerie Dantoyne, Andrew Adamski, Heather Toman, and Scott Rosenberg. They'll be recognized this week in La Crosse at the 2024 Marble Seed Organic Farming Conference. There's your food news on a Tuesday. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today, almost exactly like yesterday. We'll get to about 42 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy. We'll drop to 24 for an overnight low. Tomorrow, sunshine 46. On Thursday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And welcome back, Up North News Radio, Civic Media Radio Network. Chad Holmes sitting in for Pat Kreitlow here today. And it is a primary election day for the spring election. A man that will not be on the ballot today, but will be on the ballot as we get deeper into 2024, is Kyle Kilborn. He is a Democratic candidate for the 7th Congressional District, a seat currently held by Representative Tom Tiffany. And we're very happy to welcome back to the program Kyle Kilborn. And Kyle, thanks again for joining us.
No, thank you for having me again. I'm excited.
One of the interesting things that I always watch when it comes to political figures is, what do they talk about? And whether it's, you know, I think we hear, well, when you hear from Senator Johnson and Senator Baldwin, they talk about different things. They talk about different issues. When you hear from Representative Tiffany, you hear certain talking points. If you were right now in terms of involved maybe in the Congress, what are the things we'd hear you talking about? What are the issues that that cut to the core of you that may give some information for the people of the 7th Congressional District who are thinking about voting for you? The issues that animate Kyle Kilborn. What would we hear from you if you were right now on the national stage?
No, that's a good and great question. I think for me, you know, my campaign is about prioritizing working families. And one issue that's, you know, affecting the district right now is rural healthcare. We saw it around Eau Claire when, you know, healthcare providers pull out. And, you know, this is a problem that's been building for many, many years. I just looked at the stats from 2005, 2010, 43 rural hospitals closed in the country. From 2010 to 23, 148. And so, like, this is accelerating, and this is something our current, you know, incumbent is not addressing. And that's something I would be addressing, is like, how do we stop this loss of our rural hospitals?
How do you think we can do that? Because you are exactly right. That is a topic that Pat on this very program has been talking about quite a bit. And it really is hard to believe that in this era, in 2024, in this country that has so much, that we could be going backwards in such an important area. How do you look at where we should go? Do you have ideas on maybe the process of trying to find solutions to again, a problem that really is a head scratcher, that when you look at the progress that we should be making, that we're actually backsliding in this area?
Yeah, no, I think one of the things is looking at what's causing this. And there's sort of two things that pop up. One is, these hospitals are losing money on providing patient services. They're not getting the adequate funding from private insurance companies. And the other is, they have low financial reserves. Like, they don't have enough money saved up to, like, weather, you know, these bad periods. And so what can be done about that? The first is, you know, we could require health insurance payments to cover the cost of services in rural communities. If you look at an ER, you know, in an urban area, like, the cost per patient is lower. But having an ER in a rural setting, like, it's going to sit empty a bit more time, and there's costs of that, and we're not actually reimbursing them for that. And so, you know, how do we make sure that these payments are going to the rural areas, so that when you do have an emergency, there's a hospital there to actually, you know, serve you? That's one thing. And the other is, you know, creating standby capacity payments for fixed costs for this. You know, it's just, there's the fixed cost. You got to have a building. It's got to be there. And, you know, like, how do we make sure that we fund healthcare, so it's not just per treatment, but, like, you have to have a facility, you know, within so many miles, and, like, let's fund that as well.
When I look at that issue, and maybe a lot of other issues when it comes, especially for rural folks, and as you travel the 7th Congressional District, you obviously talk to a lot of folks in rural areas, because when you look at the map, there's a lot more rural areas than there are urban areas in the 7th. But, and again, I go back to the first question I asked, because we hear a lot about, you know, from Representative Tiffany talking about the border, talking about those issues. When you actually think about it, issues like rural healthcare, whether and rural high-speed internet, and all the things that maybe those of us that live in more urban areas take for granted. What else are you hearing, especially in those rural areas, as you travel the district in your campaign?
Yeah, one thing that sort of I've been hearing, and it unites across the district, but in different ways, is around clean water. On the eastern side, it's all about PFAS and, you know, contaminated wells. On the western side, it's about CAFOs and large-scale farming and contaminating the water supply there. And so, you know, that's, you know, I live on a place where I have a well and I have a septic tank, and like I have to be able to provide, you know, clean water for my own household, you know, on my own. And so like we don't have a, you know, sewer system, we don't have piped water. And so, you know, it's a challenge for rural areas to make sure that our water stays clean. And that's an issue that, you know, unites us across the district.
Right now in Washington, it appears that the fringes are represented in a greater way than they have been maybe for much of recent history. And I think a lot of it has to do, we talk a lot about maps and those kind of issues, but also just generally, it feels like the fringes are well represented. How would you describe yourself politically? Obviously, you're running as a Democrat trying to defeat a Republican, but generally, I mean, what's your general political philosophy? What kind of representative would you be? What would people be able to expect from you?
Yeah, you know, I'm a, you know, person for the people. Like, that is my professional background. I used to go into people's homes and do research on designing better solutions. And so, you know, anything that is for families and our communities, that's the kind of politician I am. That's who I'm working for. That's who I'm trying to represent. If you say that's a liberal, if you say that's progressive, I don't know, but that's the kind of politician I am.
When you look at, we'll come back maybe to some narrow issues within Wisconsin, but a part of the job as well is looking at national and international issues. And right now, in Washington, we are in an odd time where a lot of, I think, the general consensus feelings of American foreign policy is being questioned when it comes to NATO, when it comes to supporting, I would say, governments that traditionally we would support. We're seeing these, again, fringes, and I think Ron Johnson is somebody that would definitely fit the bill. In terms of what he talks about when it comes to Russia, Ukraine, NATO, and some of the mega positions that I think he has taken. When you look at those kind of big picture international issues, what's your take in terms of maybe your beliefs and where the United States should be, RE, NATO, and those issues? Are you surprised, as maybe I am, that we're having these kind of questions at this point? Again, as I said, with the medical issues in 2024, it's very interesting that we're having these kind of discussions at this point in our history.
Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, yes, it seems surprising. On the other hand, knowing that, you know, our citizens aren't getting the things that they're asking for, like, it makes sense that they're saying, well, why focus on somewhere else around the world when I'm not getting healthcare, I'm not getting clean water, I'm not getting the stuff that I want. And so I want politicians to focus on that. I think there's a way to do both. And as a politician, you have to have the power of and. Like, we can focus on domestic issues and focus on foreign issues. And so they're connected. It's not like you can do one without the other. And I think sort of seeing that the world is connected is, you know, it's hard for people when their immediate needs aren't being met. They're struggling with healthcare, they're struggling with housing, they're struggling to afford things. They're like, I can't focus on this other stuff. And that's the role of politicians. They should be able to focus on multiple things at once.
Again, we're talking to Kyle Kilborn, candidate for the 7th Congressional District. And that's talking to people. And sometimes I think that is probably one of the things that I hate to use the term the average voter, but being able to have their representatives listen to them. And some of these issues that seem so much bigger when there are so many, as you said, very close to home issues that sometimes feel like they're not being focused on. What are maybe some of the other issues when you are talking to these voters out there that they want to be heard about, that maybe they feel like they're not being heard about right now with some of the current politicians?
Yeah, I think, you know, you had Nancy Stensel on, and there's a lot of environmental natural resources issues that, you know, the Northwoods and northern Wisconsin is known for having beautiful landscapes, and people want to protect that and preserve it. And it's been a battle to sort of like say, you know, this is part of our heritage. This is part of what makes this district great. And we want to keep that. And, you know, it's good business sense too. Like, we have a huge recreational, you know, community. We have tourism, and like, that is a part of the community, and we want to protect that. And it's often not heard. But I think, you know, it's starting to galvanize people to sort of speak up and take a stand.
Speaking of yourself, I think one of the keys in any race is to have people know you. And as I said, this is such a big district, and as a new candidate, how are you going about trying to get, for lack of a better term, noticed? Because obviously it's a different kind of megaphone now, because you have a smaller one as compared to the incumbent. And as you try to get people to know you, how have you, I guess you've been doing this since, I think, last April, if I'm not mistaken, you said.
Yeah.
How do you go about trying to get people to know you, to make sure that as we get closer and closer to when people go to the ballot box, that they know who Carol Kilborn is? Because I think that for people out there that may want to get involved, learning how to take those steps. I was curious about your experiences, because obviously it's a big hill to climb for a new candidate.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, someone who hasn't been a politician, it's yeah, you know, daunting in some ways, like, oh, how am I going to do this? And that's why I gave myself plenty of room and time to sort of make that happen. And I'm a person that likes to learn. So I wanted to start early in April. And the first thing I did was traveling around the district. So I've been to 19 of the 26 counties. I've got a couple more this spring to sort of check off and make sure I visit. And I'm starting to do second rounds. And so mm-hmm. I'm going back to the 26 counties. And so I think that's the first step, you know, meeting people where they are. The second is, you know, you got to have money to buy things like signs. So like, sure, I have signs and they're starting to get out in the district. And so, like, you know, signs are important to rural communities. It's, you know, it's a huge district, and seeing a sign lets you know you're out there. So, you know, making sure we have, you know, that. The other is we're going to start holding virtual town halls. Like, it is such a huge district. Like, even if I'm going everywhere, I'm still not going to meet everyone. And so, like, let's make sure that there's a collective place that people can come chat and meet me.
When I talked to Nancy in the last hour, I talked about maybe misconceptions about the 7th in terms of the people out there. Have you found any? Because there is this sense, hey, it's a very red area. What have you found out in talking to the people that maybe those of us who have not had that opportunity to go to all these different places as you have, maybe a misconception about what you have found out about the people of the 7th?
Yeah, I think there's a strong streak of independence. And those people are sort of disgruntled and, you know, are upset about politics as it is today. And I think I'm sort of trying to offer that alternative. You know, I'm not a politician. I haven't been in office for decades, doing the same things over and over again. And, you know, giving them the opportunity to sort of say, hey, here's a different candidate. If you don't like what Congress is doing today and how it's running, let's try something different. Let's get a designer in there and someone who's going to work on those solutions. And I think people are open to that. I've heard often that people don't vote their party. Like, there's a huge amount of people that they vote candidate. They'll pick candidates across the spectrum as they go down the ballot. And I think that'll be interesting this election, that when the presidential race is going on, the Senate race is going on, the House race, and new legislative maps. I mean, that's going to energize a lot of people to come out.
And energy. And I think one of the areas is for especially young people, and to see somebody that looks a little bit more like they do, because I said earlier, it's the 82nd birthday of the Senate Majority Leader today, and we see a lot of those types. Being a younger candidate, do you sense that people are excited about that? That, yeah, experience and having name recognition is good, but also having somebody that is younger and part of a different generation, do you find that encouraging as well?
Yeah, definitely. You know, one of the things is representation and making sure that there's people that look like you, have the same background as you. And so knowing that there is a younger generation that's willing to stand up and go forward, I think will help people that aren't registered to vote to come out. And I'm excited to make sure that happens and get those people registered, the younger folks, and get them on the ballot.
And Kyle, finally, what's your website before we wrap it up?
It's kylekilborn.com, which is KyleKilborn.com.
Kyle, thank you again. I'm sure we'll be connecting again as the campaign continues.
Thank you.
We'll have more wrap things up coming up. Bull Falls, Civic Media.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
And welcome back. Everyone's in for Pat Kreitler here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Greg Bach in Waukesha. And Greg, actually, first of all, here at this time, 7:50, this is normally the segment that Up North News Radio brings in a guy named Chad Holmes to talk.
That so Chad Holmes guy, he's a quality fella.
But it's been great to be with you the last couple of days. And the last segment, and I was very happy to hear Kyle Kilborn jump right into the idea of healthcare.
Yeah.
Because I know you and Pat have been talking a lot about that, especially because of the issues right in his backyard.
Absolutely.
And when you think, when you have these conversations, there so often is a disconnect in terms of when you go online and you go to the news sites to see what they're talking about in the Congress about what is actually being talked about and reported on in the media compared to what a candidate is hearing when they actually talk to the people.
Yeah.
And I just sometimes wonder, how can we close that disconnect? Because these are issues, as I said, this is 2024. How the heck are we in a situation where people are getting, where they have to travel further and further and further for important healthcare procedures or health, just basic healthcare? I mean, we had a comment here from Tony Zimmerman, maternity care desert. The idea that somebody could actually say that and have it be true, it makes you shake your head, doesn't it?
I read an article about, you know, this topic is specifically what Tony is referring to about the notion, the story of, oh, when you were born, we had to pull over the car and you were born on the side of the road. And that can be a story, but that's also a commentary on the lack of healthcare and access. And the fact that, you know, what you're referring to is two hospitals up north are closing. Like, think about that for a second. Hospitals, a place where people go to get care, a place where women go to give birth, just closing. And it's now up to those folks up there to find other methods, other places, travel further, spend more money. Hopefully those hospitals that are around are in their network and it won't financially ruin them.
And again, I don't claim to know enough yet. And it's something I need to know, learn more and more about. But the idea, again, that I think certain areas within our society should not be always for profit. And when it comes to areas like healthcare, it feels as though, and this goes back to discussions on healthcare policy that goes back decades, and the discussions that we had for the Affordable Care Act and everything else. But the idea of, and I think you could say the same thing about prisons. Again, certain areas should not be for profit.
I don't disagree.
I guess that's my thought, bottom line.
You know, people will say to the end of the day, you know, I don't want to end up like Canada or the UK. You know, you got to wait in line for 6 months. First of all, that's not true at all. Yeah, you might have to wait, but when's the last time you've scheduled your physical and gotten in like the next week? When you schedule a physical, generally you're getting in 2-3 months down the road. It's not the British, Australian, Canadian healthcare system. It's not the greatest. It's not perfect. Of course it's not. Nothing's perfect. But mm-hmm. I would rather, personally, this is just me, if you said to me, Greg, we need to do a procedure, and because of the system, you're going to have to wait a month and a half. I'd rather wait that 90 days than put off having it done because I'm worried about how am I going to afford this.
Mm-hmm. And real quickly as well, based on, you know, what you're saying, when we talk about yourself or myself or the vast majority of people,
yeah,
I think a lot of the criticism, as you say, of so-called socialized medicine,
yeah,
is that the people that have lots of money are able to buy in this system, they're able to get in immediately.
Oh,
again,
good.
it's about the very few. For-profit system is wonderful if you have unlimited resources. I mean, that you'll be able to get in immediately and get the best and the most current healthcare possible. But we're talking again about millions and millions of people. What would be best for millions of people, the average citizen? And it definitely is not that system. And I mean, unfortunately, again, as I get older and we both get older, the idea of moving forward, it's such a slow process. We did take, again, a big step forward with the Affordable Care Act, but still so much shorter than it could have been.
Yeah.
And the whole process with the fight against moneyed interest is, again, the biggest obstacle. Moneyed interest. I'm talking about with Nancy Stencil earlier when it comes to environmental issues. There are these moneyed interests that have unlimited abilities to keep their voice in the conversation.
Yeah, and you know, let's not forget too that the original version of the Affordable Care Act had a public option. And also, let's also not forget that the state has still turned away Medicaid money to expand our healthcare network or healthcare system in Wisconsin. And that's just another thing at, you know, these politicians up in Madison, they got to live with themselves. They're just on whatever principle they have. They're saying, nope, we don't want this. We don't want people to have access.
It's all about purity tests with them. I mean, that's, you know, if it doesn't exactly toe the line of our political philosophy, we're going to turn away money that could save people's lives.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's shameful. It's shameful.
And it's shameful, but it's insanity as well. And the idea, again, that people have not penalized them to the level that I think they should have been penalized is also a little bit infuriating as well. I mean, it's like, I mean, folks, these people are voting against your interest. The vast majority of the people out there. So
Don't let them scare you into voting, make you afraid of the other people. They're people just like you. They breathe, they eat, they sleep, they hurt, they have joy. They might not be an American yet, but they're a person, and don't let them make you afraid of them.
And finally, I'm going to say as well, talk about those important issues.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Tiffany here in the 7th is going to be talking about the border. I hope that we continue to talk about healthcare and access to healthcare and rural internet and important issues for day-to-day lives as well.
Absolutely.
Hey, Greg, it's been fun the last 2 days.
Thank you, sir. It's been fun with you, too.
Absolutely. So, and folks, you can stick around with me for the next 2 hours as well on Bull Falls Radio, on the Civic Media app as well. But thanks to Greg Bach, Todd Alba will be in for Pat starting tomorrow morning. Have yourselves a great rest of your day. And thanks for joining us for Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
Tuesday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner, filmmaker John Mossman, and film activist Jeffrey Kurz. Check me out in my new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. At least one person has been killed in Southern California as powerful storms continue to pound the region.